Good evening, everybody. For many of you who do not know, I am on an elimination diet, and there's a reason why I'm telling you this. So the giggles are out. I found out that for 32 years of my life, I'm allergic to everything under the sun. So I've been getting rid of everything, and I'm finally realizing what it's like to be able to function normally. And I was talking to my kids about it in class, and I was like, you know, sometimes when I eat things that I was allergic to, my esophagus would close up and things would be tough to get down. I just thought that was just normal life, and I found out that's not normal life, so I'm able to do different things. But part of it is I'm off of caffeine. So if you feel like I'm dragging tonight, or maybe for some of you I'm finally understandable, you can praise God for that. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a disclaimer for what's going on. So if you would turn to Habakkuk. And before you turn to your spouse and say, why did I come tonight? I trust you, there will be a good word for you tonight in the book of Habakkuk. If you don't know where it is, it's after Nahum and it's before Zephaniah. If you don't know where those are, I can't help you anymore. You should have brought your iPad and you would have been able to find it easily. But Habakkuk, we're going to get through the whole book tonight. It'll be one of the few times I have taught a whole book in one service. Good news is it's only 3 chapters. But this book has been rolling over in my spirit lately. And I entitled the message, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And that's a comforting thing, and that's also a discomforting thing. It's comforting that God is so much smarter than me that he doesn't make sense to me. But it is also discomforting to me because many times it doesn't make any sense. And it's that paradox in the Christian life. And yes, we have chapter and verse and we have experience, but still many times we find ourselves like Habakkuk, standing back and going, Lord, why? Lord, I have more questions than answers. I have more confusion than peace. I'm warring with anxiety. I just need some help. And sometimes in those times in our life, it feels like God is even farther away. And we yell all the louder asking God for some help, and it feels like there's a brass ceiling over this clouds and no words get up to the throne room. And you sit there and you feel alone. And you feel afraid. And you feel like you're forsaken. And it can feel lonely. And you know what? Many times that's our Christian life at times. You know, everyone loves messages that are giant slaying, mountain moving, dead raising, and everyone gets excited for those, but many times we need to be encouraged that even though God seems like he's far away, he's still there. Because many times in our life, that's the way it is. I'm reminded of the life story of John the Baptist, and as he's sitting there in prison, he sends his disciples to Jesus saying, are you really the one? Because after all, I'm suffering a lot for you. And Jesus responds back and reminds him of the words in Isaiah. And he says, tell him this, blessed are those who are unoffended in me. You see, many times our Christian life is a crucible. And it feels like God is turning it as tight as he can. But in reality, he's just squeezing us closer to himself. But it doesn't feel like that. And you know, many times we don't really understand it to the other side of glory. And these messages aren't the easiest to live. They're really easy to teach. When you have to live it, and you have to live in that crucible, and you have to live in that prison cell, and you have to live when the stocks are on your feet, and you have to live when your baby dies, and you have to live when the cancer is called in, you have to live. Those are the moments that are tough. Those are the times that try our souls and try our faith. And the good news is God left these examples in the scripture for us to glean from. We can look at Habakkuk and go, you know what? I can relate, Habakkuk. I'm with you. And you're going to see what I mean in a minute. But it's a blessing that we have men like this in the scripture that we can go to and, you know, huddle up alongside and say, yeah, he knows what I'm going through. And I know what he's going through. And I hope that tonight, there's a few of us here that are in the beginning of Habakkuk, and I hope that I can get you to the end. And if I can get you to the end of Habakkuk, you're going to be in really good shape. But tonight, you're starting off in verses 2 and 3, and you're feeling like this is just horrible. I'm reminded of a story of John Newton where he cried out for God to visit him and to show him his glory and show him his presence and rend the heavens and come down. And he's crying out to God, and the answer came. And he went through the most horrible years of his life. He felt like he was a worm. He felt like life was crashing in on him. He felt like God, on top of it, was so far away. And he penned a hymn that many of us know, Prayer Answered by Crosses. And he goes through the story of how he cried out to God and over again just felt like God opened him up and revealed all the sin in his life and sent the enemy, and it almost sounded like Job. And he closes the hymn with these two stanzas, and he says, Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy that thou mayest seek thy all in me. That's why we go through those things. And you know, if we're going to be Christians in this and in this life, we're going to have to get used to trouble. Isn't that what Job tells us? He says in Job 5:7 that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Praise God, I'm glad I came tonight. That's the time you're supposed to feel that. The good news is I've got more verses. John 16, verse 33. This is red ink. This is Jesus. In the world, you will have tribulation. He goes on and says, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. Don't think that something strange is happening to you, but rejoice that you share in Christ's sufferings. Getting better, Pastor John. Well, I got one more. Paul said in Romans chapter 9 that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish of heart. This is the apostle that wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in him forevermore. Yet he says here in Romans 9, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. This, many times, is the Christian walk. Jesus cried out, one of his last words was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of you here tonight are going, Pastor John, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been feeling that all week. I've been feeling it all month. I've been feeling it for the last 10 years. And there's many people in the scriptures that have went through it. We understand Job. We understand Elijah. We understand David. We see these men who've been broken down and been in the crucible. A Jacob whose hip was pushed out of joint. And you feel like you're at your lowest ebb. And we're going to meet a man named Habakkuk. And he so often had the same battles. You know, it would be great if our life went according to our confession, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great that everything we confessed just happened? That every prayer we prayed for the giant to fall, it fell. And every prayer for healing happened instantaneously. And our prayer for revival that we've been praying for years and years happened right now. But that's not how it always happens. It does, but then it doesn't. And to get ourselves to get in line with God's word. And to get ourselves to step back from our trials and to look where we should look. And to say what we should say, and to pray what we should pray, and to believe what we should believe. That's the goal. And to start off in our journey, I know I'm building it up, but let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1. I trust everyone's there. Verse 2. Habakkuk cries out, and I want you to hear the groaning of his heart. Hear the cry in his spirit. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? And you will not hear. Or cry to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at the wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise, and the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous, and justice goes forth perverted. Now, we may not have said those words, but we've been in that boat before. And if you haven't, one day it'll happen. There's times that you sit there and you're like, Lord, how long will I cry to you and you don't hear? I pray time after time after time, and it seems like there's a brass ceiling. It doesn't get there. And we battle with that. We war with that. And we wonder why iniquity is abounding. We almost grab a seat next to Asaph in Psalm 73 and say, Lord, why do the wicked prosper? Why do they prevail? Why do they have an easy life? We're suffering, they're triumphing. What's going on, Lord? And then I love where it ends. He says, until I went to the house of the Lord. Beloved, when you have these questions, you got to get to the house of the Lord. The answer isn't the answer. The answer is Jesus. And you've got to leave the questions and run to the throne of God. And the good news is that's what Habakkuk did. And the good news is that that's what you can do tonight. But beloved, I want us to see that these questions are real. And not once does God rebuke him for these questions. Not once does God step back and say, Habakkuk, that's it, I've had it with you. You should know what's going on. You're a rebellious people, you're stiff-necked. I'm done with you, I'm crushing you, and getting rid of you. And you should know it. Jeremiah prophesied it years before. Can you not get it through your head? God didn't say that. He knows our frame is but dust. He knows the struggles you're going through. He knows the terror that comes at night. He knows the fear at times that rises up in your heart. Every tear is in a bottle. Your name is graven on his hands. He knows where you've been. He's that high priest that's touched. And listen to his answer. And you know what? It just goes a little bit downhill here. I mean, he gets to verse 5 and the Lord answers him. And you know what Habakkuk wanted God to say is that you're right, Habakkuk. I've been holding off my hand. I'm coming tonight. We're going to bring judgment. We're going to bring justice in there. We're going to get rid of the wicked leaders and raise up men. They're going to preach the word of God and lead the people in prosperity. That's not what the answer was. And we cry out to God and we want that answer, that quick fix that pastor was talking about on Sunday. We want that quick fix. And many times God responds as pastor was going down Sunday, thy grace is sufficient for you. And it's like, oh Lord, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted an answer. Well, that was an answer. You just didn't like it. And in verse 5, God responds to Habakkuk and says, look among the nations and see wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. So God answers first off with more perplexity. Lord, what's that mean? You're doing something that I won't even understand? That makes it a little worse, God. I was hoping for something clear and concise and like come out of the boat or come out of the grave or rise up, do something spectacular. And God responded, nope, I'm doing something. And then the perplexity turns into punishment. And he goes on down and God says, and we won't read all of them, but he says he's going to raise up the Chaldeans, and they're a bitter and hasty nation, verse 6. And they're going to seize dwellings and they're dreaded and fearsome, verse 7. The horses, verse 8, are swifter than leopards and they're more fierce than wolves, and it goes on and on. They come for violence, verse 9. They're going to gather captives. They're going to scoff at your kings and at your rulers. They're going to laugh at every fortress, and they're going to sweep by like the wind. That's when you're like, Lord, I think you are answering the wrong prayer. You were answering the other guy's prayer. Did you hear mine? That was the wrong answer. And that's how we feel many times in life. It's like, Lord, that wasn't the answer I was looking for. Could we try again? Could you find some other thing to share with me? But no, that was the will of God. That was the justice of God. And Habakkuk's now seeing all this and hearing all this. And sometimes we separate ourselves from these people and these times and just make it a story. We need to get into it and understand what Habakkuk was seeing. He's seeing his marketplace that he shopped at every day just tore up and in fire and flames. His family and friends in captivity, being drug off, being malnourished, being treated ill and beaten and killed and slaughtered, and his king being taken and ripped out of the nation, and the temple of God being destroyed and everything ripped out. His whole life was going to be ripped upside down. That's why in verse 2, that word cry there, it's used twice. The second time, it's way more intense than the first. It means to scream out. And the cry in his heart is he's just overwhelmed with the reality of God's judgment. The reality of the circumstances. Now at this point, I want to step back, and in no way am I saying the trials we're going through is God's judgment. We use the scriptures to pull many truths out that apply to us today. And so what I want us to see is what we do when God doesn't make sense to our minds. And so I'm not saying any of us are under judgment. What I'm saying is that when hard times come, God's working and we don't understand it, and sometimes we don't even like it. And how do we respond? And so in Habakkuk's life here, he's saying, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. This isn't how I was expecting you to respond in this situation. And so then Habakkuk answers the Lord back in verse 12, and he starts off really good here. He really does. He steps back a little bit and gets himself on some firm ground, and he says, O Lord, you are from everlasting. O Lord, my God, my Holy One. And he says this great statement here, we shall not die. You see, whenever we're confronted with trials in our life and a situation that doesn't make any sense, stop looking at what doesn't make sense and step back and look at what does. Okay? You're going to get yourself into trouble if you're stopping and trying to make sense of what doesn't make sense. It'll never work. You get yourself off into error. You get yourself off into complaining. But whenever we're confronted with something that just doesn't make sense, we need to do what Habakkuk does and begins to do here, step back and go, okay, Lord, you're the Holy One, you're in heaven, and I know your promise to us, we will not die. We've got to learn that in our Christian walk. Because if not, you're going to be tossed back to and fro throughout life, back and forth, back and forth. Lord, why? Are you angry with me? What's going on? I don't understand. And you know what? In this life, many times you will not understand. Can I remind you of the words of Paul when he said in Romans 11, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. He goes on and says, who can know the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who can understand the ways of God? And so often we just need to step back and go, you know what, Lord, I don't understand, but you're good. And Lord, I don't understand, but your ways are true. And Lord, I don't understand, but the judge of all the earth does right. And so we change our whys into worship. And that's the place that God is bringing us. And the cool thing is that's where Habakkuk gets, and it's exciting, and we'll get to look at it tonight. But you want to step back when you're facing something that you don't understand. Step back and look at what you do understand. Look at what's true. And don't allow the perplexity to disrupt your quietness and your trust in the Lord. And I know it's a battle. You know, it's so easy to stand up here and say that. And many of us, as we go through trials, we always had that person that comes up to us and says, it's okay, just get your eyes on Jesus. And you're like, how do I do something with your eyes, you know? You know? Right? We've all been there. I was reading a book on Job, and it was written by Charles Swindoll, and he had an interesting story about a family who had lost all three of their children at very young ages. I think the youngest was eight. I mean, the oldest was eight. And they buried three of them over the course of a number of years, and he was saying they were at the reception what's that called after the funeral? The repast. And they're all together, and someone came up to him and said, you know what, just trust the Lord and do this and do that. And he had answers and verses, and the guy walked away. He was trying to encourage, and the one who just lost his sons just said, man, I'm glad that guy's gone. And then another guy comes up to him, just sits with him, listens, nods, offers a quick prayer, and then he walks away. And the father who just lost his children just said, I wish that guy would never have left. Just to have someone who can just be there, you know, So many times you want to fix things and give people all the right counsel, and they just want you to sit there and nod and pray and sit there some more. But we too often are one of Job's three great friends who have so much wise counsel to give. And you know what? Counsel's good and it's necessary. But you know, so many times in our trials, we just need someone to come alongside and just say, I love you. I'm praying for you. And we find ourselves in these situations, and when you do find yourself, as Habakkuk does here in chapter 1, verse 12, step back and just remember the goodness of God. He goes on in verse 12 and says, O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of pure eyes and to see evil, you cannot look on wrong. Then it changes. He begins to offer a complaint once more. You see, he started off good, but then he began to realize who God is. And he goes, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. God, I know you're good. And I know we're not going to die. And I know your eyes are pure. But how can you use these evildoers to bring judgment upon your people? How can you bring this upon us? They're going to bring hooks and draw us back into their land. They're deceitful and evil. And how are you going to use them, Lord? And you can see the war in his life, and many of us have been there. You know, you go into your prayer closet, and you start off praising God, and then you get into it, and you just start turning like, Lord, I still don't understand. I still don't understand why. It still doesn't make any sense to me. And you start off on the right foot, but then it quickly goes, Lord, I just don't understand. And we've all been there. In Habakkuk, you can see that war back and forth. But I love chapter 2, verse 1. Look there. And this is again what I was saying we have to do. When you get in a situation or a trial where you just don't understand, step back and look on what you do understand. Look at what's true. And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, But I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower, and I will look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. You know what he's going to do? He's just going to step back and get quiet. And you know what? When the trials are that real, that's all you can do. What else are you going to do? You're not going to fix it. You're not going to change it. Well, if I pray 8 more hours, then I can convince God to change it differently. No, not if, as in this situation, his will is established, you're not going to change it. Get back and align yourself with his will. And align yourself with who he is. And align yourself with his presence. And Habakkuk did that. He stepped back. I'm going to distance myself from the perplexity, distance myself from the problem, and just sit back and hear what God's going to say. I'm not going to allow the depression to rule my life. I'm not going to allow the perplexities to rule my mind. I'm going to bring those thoughts captive. I still don't understand God, but I want to hear what you're going to say. And God answers. And he cries out to Habakkuk and he says, listen, write the vision. Make it plain on the tablets, verse 2, so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. Now, there's a lot going on there. We don't have the time to get into every detail here concerning the way these prophecies all unfolded. But just to make it simple for us, we're going to see the fulfillment of this prophecy here in his lifetime. Because if we can just jump forward a few years, was Israel destroyed? No, they were brought back and they were restored. And many times the promise seems like it's far away. We've been waiting for it. We've been looking for it. But beloved, can I remind you that he's not slack concerning his promises, and that promise will come. It will be fulfilled. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But many times it seems like it's in slow motion. Has anyone seen Zootopia? I do have kids, so I still watch those things. Have you seen the scene with the sloth? That's the most annoying scene in any movie I've ever seen. I mean, he works at the DMV, which is just great, right? And the sloth is supposed to stamp this driver's license so the fox can go and do what it's supposed to do. And he gets the stamp. and is going towards the pad. It's really this annoying. Stamps. I know I'm annoying you, but it's worth it, trust me. He does it like three more times. I won't do that to annoy you. But that's exactly how slow it is. And sometimes we feel like that with God. We're like, Lord, can you just move it a little faster? I mean, please. You know? But you know what? It's not going to fail. That word's not going to return void. It's going to come. And Israel was restored. It just wasn't in Habakkuk's lifetime. And God's kingdom will come. But it may not be in our lifetime. And what I mean by that is his rule and reign. We may not see every promise fulfilled in our lifetime. As in Hebrews 11, they died in faith not receiving the promise. And many times, sometimes that's what happens. And the key is to never let that delay or that slow motion make you think that God's forsaken you. You know, even the stories the pastor was sharing Sunday morning, along the lines of George Mueller, who prayed for 29 years for someone's soul. I mean, those are the things that many times it feels like slow motion. But you know what? That word doesn't return void, and it's going to accomplish that. And the warfare that's going on in the heavenlies, we forget that it's going on. But the answer was sent. It's just in warfare. And keep praying and keep believing and keep trusting. And Habakkuk was beginning to see that. And he steps back and he waits for the answer. And God gives him this first of three great truths in Habakkuk chapter 2. The just shall live by faith. He reminds Habakkuk once again that his grace is sufficient for him. If you would look over at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. You know, Jesus made the statement, when I come, will I find faith on the earth. When I come, will I find a people faithful, or have they given up? Have they turned back? And this need for faith in our lives to, no matter what comes our way, no matter what trials comes, we can stand in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the affliction, and still say God's good and God's word's true. That's where he's taken us. And when these perplexities come, and when these trials come, and it seems like we've prayed and nothing's happened, let me remind you of the words of Isaiah here in chapter 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, in returning and rest you shall be saved, and in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Our lives, our spiritual strength is based upon our faith in Jesus Christ. And many times when we're weak, that's when we're the strongest, because we're finally at the place where we can take God at his word and stand. And God's getting us to that place, and these things are coming in our lives to refine us and to cause us to cling to him with all that is within us. And the answer is not to go out and fix it. The answer is to step back and live in faith. The answer is not to go out there and try to find the answer. It's to step back and look at the answer, Jesus, and say, he's right. And when you can get to that place of quietness and trust and rest, that's the beginning of your deliverance. And that's what he's telling Habakkuk here as you turn back there. The just shall live by faith. But Lord, I want victory. No, it's faith. Faith is the victory. Lord, I want an army to rise up and defeat these Chaldeans and the Israelites can live in prosperity. No, it's going to be faith. Lord, I want the answer to come in my way and my time. No, it's going to be by faith. That's how you're going to live. That's how you're going to prevail. Our faith is the victory. And the just will live by faith. And even in this time of perplexity in Habakkuk's life, and you don't understand what's going on, and you can't see any good end in this whole thing, you step back and you have to live and approach everything by faith. And this is the answer that the Lord gives back to him. Well, then it gets a little worse. Okay, because God, as he's answering back, he mixes in these woes for the Chaldeans, and he goes back and forth. Okay? And these people are going to come and destroy Israel and take them off into captivity, But listen, God has a plan for them. And listen what's going to happen here. And I'm going to go through it just for time's sake quickly. But he begins to pronounce a number of woes upon the Chaldeans. And he sizes them up. He first pronounces a woe upon them because they steal and take from other nations what's not theirs. Okay, and this is going somewhere, so pay attention. And you've plundered other people, and these people are going to come and plunder you, verse 8. And he says, woe unto them again because they get evil gain and they're covetous and they steal. And then in verse 12, woe unto them because they build a town with blood. And man, he's just sizing these people up. And then we get now into verse 14, the next great truth that's going to be revealed here to Habakkuk and to us tonight. The earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The just live by faith. And God's glory will prevail. God's glory will be seen. Okay? And as Habakkuk's hearing this, and as we're hearing this tonight, we have to step back and understand that God's glory is going to be seen in our lives, in our beliefs, in the faith that we're believing God for different things to come and manifest themselves. God's glory is going to be seen. And no matter how evil the trial is, or how bad it looks as it's coming upon us, don't forget that God's glory is going to be seen. We can't forget that. It's going to come at the appointed time. And the faith in God's goodness and His glory being seen in our life is what's going to cause us to stand in the midst of trials and adversity. God's glory is going to be seen. Now what's interesting here is he goes through, and in the previous verses we looked at, where he's pronouncing all those woes against the Babylonians. You want to know what's cool about all that? As God's glory came and Israel was restored, Babylon was what? They were taken out. And you want to fast forward 2,000 years, 3,000 years? Who's around today? Israel. Who's not around today? Babylon. You see, God's plans are so perfect and so profound. That trial you're going through, you think it's going to be your end, but it's going to be your revival. That trial you're going through right now, you think it's going to be your demise, but it's not. It's going to be your victory. And even here in Israel's life, in Israel's plan, has his back saying, listen, God, how can you use these evil people? How can you use this trial against us? God is saying, I will. And they're going to be defeated and you're going to rise up. But you had to go through that trial first. He had to go through the captivity. And we learn here again that God's glory is going to be seen and going to be established regardless what comes against us. God's going to be praised and he's going to be exalted. And then finally, as we move on down here, he begins to pronounce more woes, the Lord does, on the enemy. And talks about how with the evil they've done, the violence they brought forth, and the idolatry that they have in verse 18. And then we get to this third truth that's so important for us here in verse 20. He says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Some of you are probably like, as you looked to your spouse and said, I knew it, we should have stayed home. Let me back up and share with you again the three things here in Habakkuk. The just live by faith. God's glory will be seen. And God hasn't gone anywhere. He's still on his throne. That was the purpose of all this. Well, why didn't you just say that? Well, we have to fill an hour. No, not quite. But it's important for us to understand what's going on here. And if you can take away one thing from Habakkuk chapter 2, it's this. God is still on his throne. Look at Psalms chapter 97. As we said earlier, so many times we feel like God is far away and he's not hearing and we've been crying out to him. And we almost forget that God is still on his throne. His throne is established and it's everlasting. It cannot be moved. And when you have a trial and a perplexity that you can't understand, step back, walk in faith, understand God's glory, and understand that he is still on his throne. That's the victory in the trials. And in Psalms 97, such an encouraging passage for us. As you allow your spirit to just see the Lord reigning and ruling in the heavens. We know the passage. Verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. And listen to the description of his throne. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes up before him. It burns up his adversaries all around. You see, when you get into these times in your life when nothing makes sense, step back and see God high and lifted up. See His glory. See His power. You're not going to see it when you're dwelling on the trial. You're not going to see it when you're dwelling on the sickness. You're not going to see it when you're dwelling on the fear. I look unto the heavens from whence come my help. And God reminds Habakkuk, listen, you got to step back and see me. You got to step back and get quiet and understand what I'm doing here, that my will is good and my ways are good. Look at verse 6. The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the peoples shall see His glory. Beloved, His glory is going to come. His glory is going to come. You know, I'm reminded there of the story of the tabernacle, and we know it well. As they're building the tabernacle, and they get everything line upon line, and they build everything to spec. And I love the passage. When everything was put in order and everything was complete, God's glory came. And in these trials in our life, as God's working and refining us, step back and go, Lord, what do I need to learn through this? And as God's refining you and changing you and making you more into His image, His glory is going to come and fill you. And it's going to strengthen you. And you're going to be reminded of His goodness in this land of the living. And your glory, His glory is going to be seen in this land and in your life. But remember that His throne isn't moved. He's the God of the heavens. His throne is established. His name is above every name. And we find ourselves back in Habakkuk, if you would, and as we're moving on here into chapter 3. This is the good part. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, O Lord, I have heard the report of You and Your work, and O Lord, I stand in awe of it. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. At this point, Habakkuk's now aligning himself with the will of God and saying, you know what, Lord, I see Your will. I see Your plan. But Lord, remember mercy in the midst of it. You know, as we look out here and we see the judgment of God coming upon this nation, you know, we're not in a too dissimilar boat as Habakkuk, other than our nation isn't chosen and His was. But God's bringing judgment upon this nation. You can see it unraveling at the seams. You can see truth lying fallen in the streets, men's heart failing them because of fear, the nations just being unraveled. And we see the judgment of God coming. And you know what our cry needs to be? Oh Lord, as Your judgment comes, remember mercy. And what's the mercy for? So I can have a good life and ease and comfort and more money in this time? No. The mercy is that we can have time to reach a lost and dying generation and get people to come into the fold of Jesus Christ. That's what the mercy's for. That we can have words in our mouth to save a dying generation. Lord, remember mercy. And you see, what Habakkuk finally does here is he steps back and goes, Lord, I don't understand Your plan, but I accept Your plan. And I want to be in line with Your plan. And I want to be in line with Your will. And as we see the judgment of God coming upon this nation, and I want to tell you something, you're going to see it come upon the professed church too. Not just our nation. But that professed church is going to be judged as well. Cry out for mercy that we can be used in this hour to save as many people as we possibly can. Lord, have mercy on us that we don't get swallowed up in the drunkenness and the reveling in this hour, that we won't be swallowed up in the judgment that's coming upon the nation because of our own lack of sobriety. Lord, have mercy on us that we may stand and proclaim Your truth. And that's where Habakkuk finally comes to. Lord, I accept Your plan. I accept Your will. Lord, I don't understand it, but I accept it and I want to line up with it. It's almost in here, Lord, teach me to number my days that I can apply my heart unto wisdom. As we see the hour drawing nigh and we see the trials of this generation coming upon us, this is not a time to be caught up with peace and safety. That's the cry of this hour. It's not a time to be caught up with that. It's a time to be caught up with getting as many people in that ark as we possibly can. Day is coming when that door is going to close. I pray there's more than 8 souls in it this time. In the midst of years, revive it. In the midst of years, make it known. Lord, as you're bringing this judgment upon the people, don't forget your promise to them. Lord, you promised that from this nation, all the world would be blessed. Don't forget us, Lord. And he goes on, and we don't have time to look at every little detail, but so much truth here in the next 15 verses. The next 12 verses. As he goes through line upon line of the goodness of God. See, the first part of this chapter here is to get in line with God's will. And the next 12 verses here, verses 3 through 15, are to remember God's goodness. You see, in the midst of times that are perplexing and the trials that seem overwhelming, don't forget what God's done. You know, many times when that trial is so big, just step back and begin to praise Him for what He's done. That's what Habakkuk did here. He said, Lord, I've seen your goodness as you parted the Red Sea. I saw your goodness as you drew us out of Egypt. I saw your goodness as you gave us a promised land. And I will see your goodness as you restore us once again. Beloved, that's what we pray. That's what we praise. It's not a time to be depressed. It's a time to worship and exalt the Lord. And he goes through and he recounts the goodness of the Lord. And then finally, verses 16 through 19, and we'll begin to close with this. And I want you again, as we spent time in verses 2 and 3, I want you to hear his heart here in verses 16 through 19, and get up next to him. And as I said earlier tonight, some of us are in verses, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and we've asked the whys, and we've wondered how, and why is God doing this, and why aren't my prayers being answered? And you know what? You're in good company here. But you've got to get all the way down to chapter 3, verse 18. You've got to get all the way down to these verses. And beloved, if you ask why, make sure you end here. Okay? And if you're battling with perplexity and with troubles, make sure you land right here. And starting in verse 16, Habakkuk says, listen, I hear your plan, O Lord, but my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound and rottenness enters my bones and my legs tremble beneath me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there before? I have in different ways, and I haven't had the trials that many of you have, but I've battled with my own depravity in this way before. I have battled with my own fears and my own anxieties and I've trembled, and you wonder why and you question, and many of us have been here too, and you hear what's going on and you tremble. You see, as he's trembling here, he's seeing the Chaldeans come in, as we said earlier, and killing and slaughtering people and ripping out his friends into captivity and destroying his nation and destroying his temple. All the calamity, and he's afraid and he's fearful and he trembles. And beloved, our trials do that to us. But beloved, you can't be tempted past that which you're able to stand. So though your knees may tremble, they won't fall. Because you can't be tempted past that which you're able to stand. And the trials, many times they're like a vice and they grip us and they just grind us down. But you can't be removed. You can't be destroyed. And I know sometimes those words seem almost trite when you're going through it. But don't hear them from me, hear them from God, because it's His words. And as Habakkuk did, we went over in chapter 2, step back and live by faith and say, you know what, God's word's true, though I don't feel it. And God's glory is going to be seen in this trial, though I don't see it. And God's still on His throne, though I can't see that either. It seems like the throne's upside down. But you know what, I'm going to live by faith and choose. And then you get to these most wonderful passages. I remember being a kid here and going to my grandmother's house, and being a little kid, you look up on the wall and she had in a wood carving that said Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. I'm like, that's a funny verse. Why would you have that on your wall? You know, when I was a little kid, and she goes, oh, that's a great verse. It's outstanding. And she opened up her Bible and read it to me. And being young, it went in one ear out the other, but now I see it and appreciate it so much more, you know. Trials do that to you. You know, as you get older and you go through some things, then verses like this become really special. This is the answer when you don't have an answer. This is the answer to the perplexity. This is the answer to the problem right here. And Habakkuk steps back and says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Some of you are thinking, well, boy, Pastor John, you could have just started there. Well, we could have, but we could have. But you know what? That's not the way our life goes. Our life starts in chapter one. You have to go through all that, chapter two, into chapter three, to get to the really good stuff. And it took Habakkuk these three chapters to get there. It took him asking why and stepping back and sitting on his watchtower and saying, Lord, I'm waiting. It took him hearing a response and saying, Lord, I still don't like that response. In fact, your answer is more confusing than where I started. Then he had to step back again and say, Lord, I'm going to live by faith. Your glory is going to be seen. And yep, you're still on your throne. But still, Lord, I'm still trembling inside and I'm afraid and I'm scared. And our life's like that. We go back and forth. That's our life. If it's not, you haven't had any trials yet. But don't worry, you'll get some. Don't worry. And then you'll be able to buy the CD and understand it a little better. But our life is like that. It's up and down. It's hills and valleys. And you gotta get to the place to where, though the fig tree never blossoms, though the check never comes in, though the answer never comes the way I want it to, though I get the answer to the prayer and it's my grace is sufficient, I'm like, Lord, really? That's not what I wanted. When all that happens, you can still step back and say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You don't have to rejoice in your circumstances. Rejoice in Him. Get your eyes off those things and rejoice in the Lord. Lord, I'm perplexed. I don't understand. This does not make sense. In fact, I don't even like it. But Lord, you're good. And I'm going to rejoice in you always. And you're faithful always. And the judge of all the earth is right. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And listen to that. When you have this encounter with God and you see Him as He is, and you recount to yourself the blessings of the Lord and you remind yourself of His goodness, listen to verse 19. God, the Lord, is my strength. When it doesn't make sense, run to God and let Him strengthen you. You see, this vision that Habakkuk had in chapter 3 of God's goodness over the years to the people of Israel is what gave him the strength in verse 19 to stand up and say, God's my strength. You see, two verses earlier, he's shaking at the knees. And in verse 19, he's standing strong saying, God's my strength. That's what an encounter with God does. That's what the presence of God does. That's what stepping back and worshiping Him does. As that old song goes, it gives strength to me when I worship Thee. When I lift my hands in praise, it will break the bands. That's what it does. That anointing breaks the yoke. Don't forget that God is on His throne. Well, since you got through Habakkuk, I at least got an illustration for you that you'll like. About John Wesley, this is a great one. John Wesley comes down for breakfast one morning and he's in a very melancholy mood. He was miserable. Sensing the situation, Mrs. Wesley goes upstairs, dresses in black, and comes back down to join him. We need wives like this. Who is dead? Wesley asked. God, she replied. Oh no, he said. Mrs. Wesley responded, I thought so from your countenance and conduct. You know, we act like God's dead sometimes, don't we? Can I remind you, as that modern song goes, God's not dead, He's surely alive. Let's not live our life like He's dead. Let's not live our life like we should walk around in black. And that, beloved, as we started off, I understand that there's trials and I've dealt with them too. I've battled recently over these last weeks. When you pray for someone, why aren't they healed? And I've battled with that and I've been upset about that. And I found myself in Habakkuk 1 saying, Lord, why? And you know what? It took a little while, but I finally got to Habakkuk 3, verses 18. And I had to say, though no one gets healed and though no revival comes and though no one gets saved, Lord, you're still good. But I don't like that. And He knows I don't like it. And you know He didn't care, but I told Him anyway. He does care, but he didn't care. But he knows our frame is but dust. And you know what? You get so excited and you want God to move and you've been praying for it and you're fasting for it and you're crying out. Don't fall into the distraction of asking why. Just don't do it. And though it may rise up, say, Lord, I'm asking why, but I don't want to ask why. I want to get to the part of I'm rejoicing in you. Lord, get me there by grace. Get me there. And Lord, these trials are coming in, but I'm going to live by faith. And they're coming in, but Lord, your glory is going to be seen. I don't know how. It doesn't make sense, but it's going to. If you would, since you're already over there, I need to end with this. Look over at Zephaniah. That's after Habakkuk, for those of you. This is worth reading. Because, you know, remember where we said in chapter 2, verse 3 of Habakkuk that it's surely going to come, it won't delay? Well, you know what? It did come. And another prophet, just a few years earlier, wrote this great prophecy. And you know, it's so powerful to us. And get it in your heart, no matter where you're at, what battle you're going through, what trial's coming. It's after all the judgments that are going to come on Judah in chapter 2 and the judgments in chapter 3. And man, it was tough being a prophet back then. No one bought your tapes. Zephaniah 3, verse 14. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exalt with all your heart. Beloved, it's coming. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you and cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, remember I said His glory is going to come? The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst, and you will never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. Listen to verse 17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. See, beloved, that's where all those trials take us. You know, you felt like God was far away, but verse 17 said He was in your midst. Not He's going to be in your midst, He's in your midst. You know, God was there all along. We just forgot or didn't see it or didn't want to see it or wanted to more sulk or whatever it was. Didn't feel it. But He was there all along. He never left. He never went anywhere. Remember Peter? He cried out in the boat saying, Lord, don't you care? And He was right there. Jesus. He was right there the whole time. And you know what he learned later on? 1 Peter 5, cast all your care on Him. He does care for you. Can I remind you tonight, He does care. He does care. And you know what? He will exalt over you with loud singing one day. He will gather you in. And you know what? Your mourning today, verse 18, I'm going to gather you in. Those of you who mourn, you're no longer going to suffer any reproach. Verse 19, I'm going to deal with all your oppressors. I'm going to save the lame, and I'm going to change their shame into praise. I'm going to restore your fortunes, verse 20, right before your eyes. See, beloved, it's coming. And so my encouragement tonight is, and I know it was a long journey through Habakkuk, but getting from the whys in chapter 1 to the praise in chapter 3. And God's going to show up. It's what He always does. He can't deny Himself. It's who He is. So beloved, those of us who are in those tough predicaments, who've been battling, God's there. He's there. And you know what? He's praying for you. And you know what? I'm praying for you. And you know what? Your pastor's been praying for you. And the people next to you have been praying for you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that tonight. Satan wants to tell you no one cares. They've been praying for you. Those prayers have gone up before the throne and the answer's on the way. It will not delay. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, we're so thankful that You are a faithful God. And Lord, even tonight, we don't understand why, but we do know this, You're good. And we ask, Lord, that You change our whys into worship and let us rise up and let Your strength come into these bodies and strengthen our knees and strengthen our hands and let us rise up and call You good. And as Job, though You slay me, Lord, You're good. Lord, You give and You take away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, let us never doubt Your goodness. Let us never doubt Your faithfulness. You are the Lord and You change not. Father, help us tonight. You know our frame is but dust. And Lord, I know there are people here who are battling. I know they've asked why. I know they've struggled, Lord. But Father, come once again by Your Spirit and strengthen them and remind them of Your goodness and remind them of Your faithfulness. And Lord, though you feel 1,000 miles away, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You can't go anywhere. You're everywhere, Lord. Help us to always remember your goodness. And even as Habakkuk did, when it gets bad, let us remember your goodness through the years. Let us remember the time you were saved. Let us remember the gift of your Holy Spirit in our life. Let us remember this place and the faithful friends and family you've given us. Let us look back on your goodness and not forget your benefits and choose to make you big by praising you for all your goodness to us. Father, we would have fainted unless we had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We believe, Lord, help us. Help us to trust you always. You are good, and your mercies endure forever. Thank you for it, Lord. Let us go with your words in our mouth. Strengthen us for the task at hand. We ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Before you go, see, that's the caffeine. That's what it is. Before you go, turn to someone next to you and say, I will rejoice in the Lord.